This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to the Mind Growth Podcast series from Learning Teams Inc. as part of their Hop into Action program. This series is supported by the best-selling book series, The Hop Beginner's Guide to Doing Safety Differently, available on Amazon Books in print and Kindle formats. In today's episode, we explore shaping human and organizational performance with the link between the eight waste types with Lean, the role of error, performance modes, work adaption, and learning with the 4Ds and the 4Ls. So please, grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and listen now to this Hop into Action Mind Growth episode. We've all been there. Whether you're trying to meet an impossible deadline, dealing with resource shortages, or working with outdated equipment, you find ways to adapt. And often these adaptations are a necessary part of the job. But what happens when these adaptations go from helpful to hazardous? This podcast takes a deeper dive into the interconnected world of Lean's management of waste, human and organizational performance, Rasmussen's performance modes, Rob Fisher's deviation analysis work, and Deming's system of quality management. You'll see how these frameworks, when combined, help us understand why workers adapt to challenges in high-risk industries like construction, manufacturing, logistics, healthcare, and high-energy sectors. The key to building safer and more efficient workplaces isn't about blaming individuals for errors. It's about understanding the systemic causes behind the adaptations people make. Let's get started by exploring the eight types of waste and how people adapt when these wastes show up in their daily work. In lean management, we talk a lot about waste. Specifically, eight types of waste that pop up in every industry and make jobs harder. Waste is anything that adds time, effort, or cost to a process without providing any value. When workers encounter these inefficiencies, they often adapt to overcome them, but those adaptations can create new or unforeseen risks. The eight wastes are 1. Defects, mistakes that require rework. 2. Overproduction, producing more than needed, leading to excess inventory or wasted effort. 3. Waiting. Idle time spent waiting for materials, information, or approvals. 4. Non-utilized talent. Underutilization of workers' skills and talents. 5. Transportation. Unnecessary movement of materials or goods. 6. Inventory. Stockpiling more resources than necessary. 7. Motion. Excessive movement by workers, whether it's walking, reaching, or searching for tools. 8. Overprocessing. Doing more work than is required, often due to inefficient processes or overengineering. Each of these types of waste creates bottlenecks in a system. When workers encounter them, they find ways to adapt. These adaptations go unnoticed when this work goes well, and this way of working then becomes normalized over time. When this work doesn't go well, we see these adaptations as deviations, intentional choices or errors, cutting corners or bypassing protocols or breaking rules. While these adaptations may solve the immediate problem, they can also lead to new unforeseen risks or inefficiencies. Let us explore a construction example of when defects waste time and create risks. Imagine you're on a construction site where you and your team are rushing to meet a tight deadline. The pressure to finish the project quickly means workers might start skipping small steps, like checking measurements or reviewing design details before pouring concrete for the foundation. This could lead to defects, such as a misaligned foundation, requiring rework down the line. The team's adaptation to save time ends up creating a defect. The rework costs time and money, and more importantly, it introduces safety risks. Imagine the defect isn't caught until a later stage. At worst, the entire building could be compromised. This is a classic example of how rushing to avoid waiting waste creates a bigger problem in the form of a defect. To better understand this driver, let us explore Rasmussen's performance modes, which are also explored in Volume 2 of the HOP Beginner's Guide to Doing Safety Differently on UMQN Error. How people adapt depends on how familiar they are with the tasks they're doing. Jens Rasmussen proposed three different performance modes that explain how people approach tasks and how they adapt to changes. They are 1. Skill-based performance mode. You're so familiar with the task that you can do it automatically. You don't think about each step. You just do it, which has a baseline error rate of 1 to 1,000. 2. Rule-based performance mode. You know the task, but you follow established rules to make sure it's done correctly, which has a baseline error rate of 1 to 100. 3. Knowledge-based performance mode. You don't know how to do the task, so you have to figure it out as you go, which has a baseline error rate of 1.2 to 1.10. Each of these performance modes has its strengths and risks. For example, in skill-based mode, people can get so comfortable with a task that they become overconfident. In rule-based mode, workers might blindly follow rules, even if those rules don't fit the current situation. And in knowledge-based mode, people rely on their judgment, which can be unpredictable, especially in high-stress situations. Let's take an example from the manufacturing industry. John, a machine operator in a factory, has been running the same machine for 5 years. He's in skill-based mode because he knows the machine like the back of his hand. Over time, John becomes so familiar with the task that he misses steps in the maintenance process, like checking pressure gauges that haven't caused issues before. At first, nothing happens. The machine keeps running smoothly, and John believes the system is stable. But then one day, a small issue with the pressure system that could have been caught earlier escalates into a full-blown malfunction. Now, the machine is down, causing significant delays and repair costs. This adaptation to miss or reorder steps is common in skill-based tasks when tasks require more than 7 steps, or you haven't done that activity for a while. With another example, in healthcare, nurses and doctors often find themselves in situations they haven't encountered before. Picture this. A nurse, let's call her Susan, is faced with a patient who's having an unexpected reaction to medication. The reaction doesn't match anything she's seen before, and there isn't a clear protocol for handling it. In this moment, Susan is operating in knowledge-based mode. She has to think on her feet, gather information, and make decisions without clear guidance. Her adaptation, improvising a solution, might save the patient's life. But it's also riskier because she's venturing into unknown territory. There's a higher chance of making a mistake in knowledge-based mode because decisions are being made without a solid foundation of experience or clear rules to follow. So, how does this sit with human and organizational performance? Think of this as an extension to one of the principles that systems and context drives behavior, not the people. When we talk about errors, it's easy to blame the person who made the mistake. Human error isn't the root cause of failure. It's a symptom of a deeper problem in the system. Todd Conklin, one of the leaders in HOP, argues that people don't come to work intending to make mistakes. When errors happen, it's usually because the system they're working in is driving them to adapt in unsafe ways. In many cases, workers are forced to adapt to inefficiencies, time pressures, or outdated equipment. These adaptations often lead to errors, not because the workers don't care or are complacent or reckless, but because the system isn't designed to support them for work to go well. Take logistics as an example. David is a delivery driver for a large distribution company. His daily schedule is jam-packed with deliveries, and he's constantly under pressure to hit his time targets. One day, David realizes he's running behind because of traffic and a delay at the warehouse. To make up for lost time, he skips his pre-trip inspection and speeds between stops. David knows these are risky adaptations, but he's trying to meet the demands of the system. The company values on-time deliveries above all else, and the pressure to perform is immense. From the outside, it might look like David is cutting corners, but the real issue is that the system is designed in a way that encourages these shortcuts. Now let's move back to healthcare. Nurses like Sarah often find themselves understaffed, especially in busy hospital units. Imagine a situation where Sarah is managing 10 patients at once. She's stretched thin, juggling patient care, medication administration, charting, and dealing with emergencies. The workload is overwhelming. To keep up, Sarah adapts by prioritizing tasks that seem more urgent, like responding to an alarm or helping a critical patient, while delaying or skipping less urgent but important tasks like double-checking medication orders or charting. This adaptation might get her through the day, but it increases the risk of medication errors or missed documentation, both of which can have serious consequences. Sarah's adaptation isn't a failure on her part. It's a reflection of the systemic issue of understaffing. She's doing her best to manage, but the system is pushing her toward risky behavior. In understanding why people change their behaviors, Rob Fisher uses a concept called deviation analysis, which helps organizations understand why workers adapt their behaviors in these ways. Fisher's approach is based on the idea that deviation adaptations happen for a reason, usually because something in the system is forcing the worker to change how they approach their job. The key is to figure out what that reason is and address the underlying systemic cause. This analysis starts by asking why the worker felt the need to change their behavior. Was it a time crunch, a lack of resources, poorly designed processes? By answering these questions, organizations can make systemic changes to reduce the need for risky adaptations in the first place. For example, in manufacturing, we often see workers adapt to outdated or malfunctioning equipment. Take Tom, a machine operator at a factory. He's been working with the same piece of equipment for years, and over time, the machine has started to break down more frequently. Parts wear out, sensors fail, and it's becoming increasingly unreliable. Tom adapts by using workarounds. He might tape down a faulty sensor so the machine will keep running, or he might manually adjust settings that should be automatic. These adaptations keep the machine running and the production line moving, but they also increase the risk of accidents and product defects. Fisher's deviation analysis would look at Tom's situation and identify the underlying systemic cause, an outdated, unreliable machine. The adaptations aren't because Tom is careless, they're because the equipment isn't fit for the job anymore. To address this, the company needs to invest in upgrading or replacing outdated equipment. This might involve implementing predictive maintenance programs that catch problems before they lead to breakdowns or investing in newer, more reliable machines. By addressing the systemic cause, the company can reduce the need for risky adaptations and improve both safety and productivity. Let us now explore a big picture view on adaptation. W. Edwards Deming, a pioneer in quality management, developed the System of Profound Knowledge, which outlines four key components that organizations need to understand in order to improve performance and reduce errors. 1. The system. How all the different parts of an organization interact and affect each other. 2. Variation. How variability in processes and inputs can affect outcomes. 3. Knowledge. How learning from experience and data can lead to better decision making. 4. Psychology. Understanding how people think, behave, and adapt to their environment. Deming's philosophy is all about seeing the big picture. Instead of focusing on individual mistakes, Deming urges organizations to look at the entire system and ask, what's causing people to make these adaptations in the first place? By understanding the system, we can make changes that lead to more consistent, predictable, and safer outcomes. For example, imagine a factory where one part of the assembly line frequently breaks down, forcing workers to adapt by using temporary fixes and workarounds. These fixes keep production moving, but also introduce new risks like machine failures, injuries, or product defects. Deming's approach would tell us to step back and look at the whole system. Why is this part of the assembly line breaking down so often? Is there too much variation in the materials being used? Are workers not trained well enough? Is the machine simply outdated? By understanding the system and reducing variation in the process, the factory can eliminate the need for workers to adapt in risky ways. This might mean investing in better machines, improving maintenance schedules, or standardizing the materials being used in production. In this case, Deming's philosophy would lead to long-term improvements in both safety and efficiency by addressing the root causes of the problem rather than focusing on the individual adaptations workers are making. For example, in the logistics industry, variability is a major issue. Drivers might face traffic delays, warehouse holdups, or sudden changes in their routes, forcing them to adapt by driving faster, skipping brakes, or cutting corners. These adaptations introduce safety risks. Drivers are more likely to get into accidents or skip important safety checks when they're rushed. Deming's philosophy would encourage logistics companies to look at the system as a whole. What's causing these delays? Is there a bottleneck in the warehouse? Are there traffic patterns that could be avoided with better planning? By analysing the variation in delivery times and addressing the root causes, companies can reduce the need for drivers to adapt in risky ways. Let us now explore some systemic solutions which use data from storytelling to improve work. The 4Ds and 4Ls are practical tools that help organisations understand the challenges workers face in their everyday tasks and the adaptations they make to overcome those challenges. The 4Ds stand for dumb, tasks or processes that don't make sense or are frustrating. Dangerous, tasks that involve unnecessary risk or challenging situations. Difficult, tasks that are physically harder than they should be or mentally demanding. Different, tasks that deviate from the standard way of doing things or surprising novel situations. The 4Ls stand for liked, what workers liked about the task or process. Lacked, what is lacking, using the 4Ds. Longed for, what workers wish they had to make the task easier. Learned, what workers learned from completing the task. Let us explore a risky adaptation on a job site in construction. Ben, a worker on a large job site, is tasked with assembling scaffolding. The tools provided for the job are old, and Ben finds that they don't fit together properly. He feels the task is dumb because the tools aren't up to standard, which frustrates him and makes the job take longer. Instead of wasting time trying to make the old tools work, Ben adapts by using his own, which aren't officially approved for the job. This adaptation is risky. While it might save time in the moment, using non-standard tools increases the risk of the scaffolding failing, which could lead to a serious accident. Using the 4Ds, the site manager could have identified this issue before it became a safety risk. By recognizing that the tools were outdated and dumb, the manager could have taken steps to replace them with better equipment. Through the 4Ls, Ben might have said, "I longed for better tools," which would have given the company a clear signal that they needed to make changes. In another example about lacking time in patient care in healthcare, we find that nurses and doctors face constant time pressures, especially in busy hospital units. Emily, a nurse, finds that she's constantly juggling patient care, charting, and responding to emergencies. Using the 4Ls, Emily might say, "I lack time to properly check each patient's chart, and I learned that skipping steps leads to mistakes." By gathering feedback from frontline workers like Emily, hospitals can gain insight into the systemic issues causing risky adaptations. Maybe the staffing levels are too low, or maybe the process for charting needs to be simplified. Either way, the 4Ls provide a framework for understanding where the system is falling short and what changes need to be made. Across all high-risk industries, workers are constantly adapting to the challenges they face, whether it's adapting to meet a deadline, improvising with the tools you have, or figuring out a solution on the fly, or just making do with what you have. These adaptations often introduce new and unforeseen risks into the system. The key to managing these risks is understanding why people adapt in the first place. By applying frameworks like Lean's Waste Management, Rasmussen's Performance Modes, HOP Principles, Rob Fisher's Adaptation Analysis, and Deming's System of Profound Knowledge, organizations can identify the systemic causes of risky adaptations and fix the underlying problems. Tools like the 4Ds and 4Ls provide valuable insights from the people doing the work, helping organizations create safer, more efficient systems that reduce the need for workers to adapt in dangerous ways. The goal is not to blame workers for making mistakes, but to build systems that support them, making it easier to do the right thing and harder to do the wrong thing. When organizations take the time to understand how and why workers adapt, they can create environments that are safer, more productive, and better for everyone involved. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and please note that the Learning Teams Inc. body of work, including the 4Ds, 4Ls, HOP into Action, and the HOP Beginners Guide to Doing Safety Differently series are trademarked and licensed for free use under a Creative Commons license requiring attribution to Learning Teams Inc., non-commercial use only, and no derivatives of their use. More information can be found on this link in the podcast.